You're listening to Crazy Shit in Real Estate. You'll be amazed at all these wild but true situations that others have found themselves in. Because on this show, you'll hear uncensored, unbelievable stories from the world of real estate. I'm Lee Brown. Let's dive right in.
I'm Lee Brown. This is Crazy Shit in Real Estate. Today, you're going to hear from an industry pro in Pennsylvania, Lynn Scherer, and we'll talk a little bit about agent education, agent perspectives, and frankly, if this is your newest career, you'll have some great advice here to help you become more successful sooner. So enjoy the conversation, and I'll see you on the other side. So tell my people, I've already given away that you're in Pennsylvania. Tell them a little bit about Lynn. Give us the Lynn nuggets so they can understand who you are a little bit.
Well, let's see. I've been in real estate for actually 24 years now.
Because we're twins.
Yeah. Started right at the beginning of the year. Quit my job in December and started in real estate in January. Took the test the December 26th because I didn't have a choice. I had to pass. So did it. Done that. Joined a real estate firm by walking in the door and running into my mother-in-law. So that was the firm I went with. Didn't know what I didn't know for sure.
Right.
Definitely. And I thought after my first transaction, I thought, wow, I'm experienced now.
I mean, it's amazing how boldly we proclaim our expertise at the beginning of our real estate career.
Yeah. And I have been with a couple of companies, big, small. Right now, I'm the managing broker of a boutique company. We have offices in Chalfont and Allentown, which are all in Pennsylvania. I have about 40 agents with me and pretty much done it all, seen most of it.
You never say that. You know you don't say you've seen it all. You know what you've just done. You've just called it down for 2024. You know what you did.
I know, and I heard me say it too.
You felt it coming out, and you're thinking, I've got 40 agents. Any of them, all of them could have the next big scenario, because 2024 is already off a wild start. So I'll pray for you, my friend.
Thank you.
You're educating and speaking career, because obviously you've seen so much. It's a great way to educate the next generation and help them not make as many mistakes. So tell them how you got started in that and a little bit of that story.
Well, about my second year in, I started to realize way how much I didn't know and how much there was to learn continually. Like trying to get a handle around what you need to know in real estate is and can be overwhelming. So I always knew that the best way to learn is to teach it, because then you actually have to ground it in your head and be able to speak it. So I started mentoring and teaching new agents like the end of my second year, which was really good for them because I knew what they were going through. It was fresh, still going through it actually. Then I started continuing to teach because I used to get annoyed. Well, not used to. I still get annoyed with agents that don't know what they don't know. And they start spouting off this stuff. And I'm like, no. Especially in today's real estate, when things are changing weekly. Like, wait a minute, you're talking about something that we were doing years ago. That's really not current. So I started teaching to educate my peers on what I was seeing. And also, they were helping me understand more about what was going on in real estate, because education is never a one-way street when we're teaching. We're always learning. And that's the fascinating part about standing up there and talking to people, and they're going, I don't agree with you. I'm like, oh, okay, what's going on? Why not? Oh, you have a good point. Or wait a minute, that's not quite where you are. And so I've been doing that for almost 20 years now. And as you know, I'm starting to step out and work on a national level, not just a local level.
Well, that's the beauty of it. I mean, real estate definitely transcends our state borders and our different marketplaces, because the core fundamentals are the same, even though state law is different and local traditions and customs can be different. There's so much that you've done that could make an agent in Kansas better. And the wildest part about it is they're going to look at you as, oh, you said this. And they think you're this great expert because you're from somewhere else. And their broker is sitting there going, I told y'all this yesterday, but we get very numb and deaf to our local people because we're used to them. You bring in an outside expert and suddenly it's life-changing. And you and I both know that these educational spaces in real estate can change somebody's business and thereby change their life. And it's so rewarding to see that happen. And I'd love for you to say one of those moments. What did you provide in an educational session at some point that it hit home and somebody had an actual benefit from us? Do you have a happy Mama Lynn story?
One of my favorite classes is this 7-hour CE class that I teach for new agents. If you're newly licensed in Pennsylvania, yeah, 7 hours. You have to do 2 7-hour required classes. It's called, one is called the general module, one is called the residential module. And basically in the class, I review what you learned in the pre-licensing class. But these agents have now been in the business for a while. And so when I speak to them about what they learned in pre-licensing, it actually hits home.
Right.
So I can talk to them about how to explain a contract, how to explain the buyer agency contract. And the first thing that I explain to them is that if they don't get these contracts signed prior to working, they're working for free. They're a volunteer. And some of them will say, wait a minute, that's not when I get them signed. I'm like, you need to get them signed at the first substantive conversation. And they're going, oh no, I get them signed when we do the agreement of sale. I'm like, okay, well then you're a volunteer and you're really not entitled to be paid. And their eyes go, what? And I'm going, and not only that, you have to fill it out. The section that says what you're going to make, you need to fill that out. I don't get it as much this year as I did last year, but the seller's paying the commission. I'm like, no, they're not. All of the money is coming from the buyer. You need to let them know what they're paying. And they're, I never heard that before. Nobody's ever told me that. And I'm thinking, I know you're a broker.
Oh my gosh. I mean, you're totally right. And the other piece of that in addition to not getting paid, I think a lot of agents don't know that without those papers being signed, they don't have E&O coverage.
You know what? I didn't even think of that angle, but yes.
It's really hard for E&O to cover somebody with no written agreement that says you're protecting, preserving anybody. And you can't work for free. We all know that. It's one of the things that agents love to prep work for free. But yes, at the end of the day, if you haven't ever gotten compensated, you're not going to be covered.
Yeah. Good point. Didn't think about that one.
Every day. But back to the thing that you said in teaching that you get to learn from your students. I think that is one of those universal truths of instruction that we who instruct don't talk about that frequently, that this was why we hated Zoom, because on Zoom, you didn't get the feedback from your audience. You didn't get that energy back. And when you're in an in-person classroom and the hands go up, sometimes we wish the hands wouldn't go up. We'll be fair. Some people should be done talking. But somebody else can say, but what about this? And it causes a whole different conversation and it makes everybody better. So facilitating the sharing of ideas is so rewarding. And I love that you brought that up because it's just a different way to look at it.
Well, especially this, having realtors sit for an entire day of class is just ridiculous.
That's not how our people are wired. They're ADD by nature and actually by necessity. So to make them sit all day, adults don't learn that well when they're seated. And I love it when they stand and say, I need to walk to absorb it. I'm like, absolutely. Walk around the room if you need to stay awake and engaged. But then again, if you have 6 of them do it, now you got a mess.
Yeah, you do. But the way I like to teach these classes, especially, but most of my classes are, yes, I have an agenda and I have an agenda that's been approved by the state, but I don't have to go in the exact order of the agenda. And I tell them this because I have a book of slides and I'm like, we'll go through all of these slides, but we may not go through them in order. Like I'll start talking about the Uniform Construction Code and they'll start asking me questions. But what happens when the basement floods? What happens if the windows aren't big enough? And then I'll just go off and start answering those questions. And then we've ticked off a whole line of things that needed to be, but they were relevant at the time. So they understood and picked it up. I can go through that story rather than saying, okay, the Uniform Construction Code is 246 pages, blah, 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 blah. Nobody cares.
And just saying the words Universal Construction Code just tunes them out immediately.
Yeah. But if I tell them about the time I had a house under construction, under agreement, and I got a phone call, of course, like at 8 o'clock at night, and my seller's on the phone going, Lynn, I've been out all day. The hose on my washer blew. This morning, I have 6 inches of water in my finished basement. What do I do? We're supposed to settle in 3 weeks.
And that's when you're like, I'll call you back.
Yeah. And then, but everybody's on the edge of their seat now listening to, well, how the hell did you handle it? What are you doing? What do I do? What if that happens? I'm like, this stuff happens. Basically, I'm telling them shit happens. Just be ready for it. And it's whatever. It's
made up of what ifs and whatever moments. That's how people survive in this. You learn how to what if and roll.
Yep. That's exactly what you do. As an agent, when you're with your client, nothing should upset you. It's just another day in real estate.
In 24 years, when did that lesson finally work its way into your business? Year three, year five? When did you learn how to do that? That's probably one of the hardest skills for a realtor to attain.
You know what? I learned that even before I got into real estate. I was a hospital administrator.
Well, you definitely can't get attached to the outcome there. Just kidding. I know that's terrible and tacky. I'm so sorry.
But I tell my agents, like, guys, you're going to make mistakes. That is part of the job. And I can tell you, not one of the mistakes you make is life or death. Everything can be fixed as long as you get it quickly. You need to tell me, if you think you made a mistake, just tell me. We'll talk about it. And yes, you might be embarrassed. You might have to go back and say, oops, I made a mistake. But I would much rather you do that than try to fix it on the other end when you have a lawsuit. A little bit of embarrassment is a very minimal price to pay.
It is.
Like, because nobody's going to die.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I tell my agents, right or wrong, I say, if you don't have something that's causing you heartburn, if you haven't had a mistake to happen, if you haven't had somebody file a complaint, then you haven't done any business. And so you do some more deals, because the more business you do, the more likely you are to encounter something that's an expensive mistake, because all the mistakes are expensive. It is legal risk. It is liability to the brokerage. It just happens. And because it happens, because we're dealing with humans and every human is different, like you said, you got to figure out a plan, talk to your broker and learn how to what if it and roll with it.
Right. And I tell them the same thing. And I think as brokers, we're doing them a disservice if we're not telling them that they are going to make mistakes. There are going to be screw-ups, that this is part of the job, and just roll with it. But don't hide it.
Exactly. That's when it gets really bad.
But then when they make a mistake, especially as a new agent, because you know how new agents are, they're like kind of walking a tightrope, making sure they don't do anything wrong, which is impossible. But they still try it, and then they make a mistake and they're heartbroken and they think they're a big failure and, oh my God, I'm not going to do anything in this industry and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, I grab them when they make their first mistake and I go, congratulations. Here's your first one. Not going to be your last. So let's go with this
one. Out of the business.
Right. Exactly. But this, I have to be perfect, which carries over from your regular life, if you're a perfectionist, doesn't work. It just paralyzes you. You can't do the job.
But you know, these have caused a lot of that. Social media tells people they have to be perfect all the time. And you're absolutely right. It bleeds over into every aspect of life. So back to the next generation, how do we get them to embrace failure, embrace mistakes, embrace falling down and learning how to get back up and keep going? If you are remotely awake, then you know that we are heading into some really tricky economic times. We have home buyers that have put the kibosh on buying. We have sellers who have found out suddenly their houses aren't dipped in 14 karat gold. And as a realtor, you are still trying to keep up with the business you have and trying to answer questions in the meantime while also managing sky high fuel cost at the pump. Never fear, because my new video course is coming out right now. And it's called How to Dominate During a Recession. I've been a realtor for 22 years. My business went up every year during the Great Recession, and it's all because of education. This course is 4 modules. There might even be some bonus content for you. The price is $199. I am delighted to bring this out as quickly as possible because, friends, there's no time like the present to make sure our neighbors are stronger and we protect the American dream. Click on this link, www.dominatethisrecession.com, and I'll see you there. Now, back to this amazing content. What are you telling your agents to help them get through the rough times besides welcome to the club?
Well, I've been wondering about that. And now I'm to the point where, okay, go out and make your first mistake and come back and tell me when you're done.
Go look for it.
And they look at me like, and I go, I'm not kidding. I said, it won't take you long to make your first mistake. Maybe your first meeting, maybe your second meeting, but go out and make your first mistake. Okay. Then we can get over that one. And then we can talk about the second one. And they kind of look at me like, no, I'm not allowed to make mistakes, because kids today put so much pressure on themselves. I mean, even at school, if they don't get an A, it's like the world is coming to an end. I'm like, no, this is how you learn. And they go,
write that down. That's good. Go out and find your first mistake. Oh, I love that, honey.
Yeah. And then they, you know, because they can't make a mistake and they can't do anything wrong.
I love what you're saying there, though, because I look at my kids and my husband and I never put any pressure on them about grades. It was, your job is to go to school and handle your stuff. And then when they don't get the grades they want, they would beat themselves up. And I'm telling them, you're all right, but fix what you can fix and roll on.
Yeah, I told my kids, especially when they came home from college, my first question was, are you having fun? And I have one, and she kept saying, I'm having fun. I'm like, no, you're not.
I'm your mother.
Yeah. No, you're not. And she looked at me, I'm like, no, you should be having fun. Like, when you come back, tell me you're having fun. And I asked her that for a year and a half, and I finally just said, okay, I think it's time for you to transfer. And she says, all right, I'll think about it. So then it was her sophomore year and she came home from the summer. I said, so are you having fun? Oh my God, the floodgates open. Oh, I met this person. I did this. We've done this. Blah, 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 blah. I go, now you're having fun. She goes, yes, now I understand. And I was like, that's all I care about.
The pressure of this digital world is just crazy.
It's ridiculous. And people put the enjoyment and having fun on the back burner, even in real estate. You need to be having fun. And if you're having fun, more than likely, your clients are enjoying the process.
Absolutely. I mean, a burned out, bitter, exhausted realtor, nobody wants to be with them, but somebody that has a joy for the hunt of the house and the winning and the details. The clients are just, they get caught up in it. The energy is contagious.
And then no matter what's going on in the process, like I said, stuff happens. You get an inspection report that you weren't expecting. But if you are enjoying the process, it's easier to get over the hump.
Yeah, well, it's not as scary because there's something else to backstop you, right? If you're miserable the whole time and then something bad happens, it's devastating.
Yes. Yes. It's a crisis. So
the other part that we know from being long-term realtors is the right house always works itself out. It's the universal truth, and the house that has all the hiccups and they never buy it, you figure out later exactly why, but you can't see it at the time. It's such a cool thing.
Oh my gosh. I totally agree. I had one client that I took out to a house and they were friends before. And the wife was actually dancing on the stoop at the front door while I was trying to get the door open and I was having trouble. She looked like she was going to wet her pants kind of thing dance. And I said, Dorothea, do you have to go to the bathroom as soon as we get in here? She goes, no, this is my house. This is my house. I said, how about if we look at it before you decide? She goes, no, this is my house. We opened the door. And of course, it was her house. It was gorgeous, but it was so funny.
What? You know what you're describing? Do you remember the scene in Miracle on 34th Street where at the end of the movie, where remember Natalie Wood was the little girl?
Yes.
Like, stop. That's it. And they're like, what are you doing, kid? He's like, this is my house. And then it was. I got long goosebumps. I love that scene. Yeah. And you're describing that, but it happens for all of our clients. And we all
of our clients.
If eyes sparkle, if they're not dancing on the front step, they're thinking about it. Oh, we need to get that clip out and make a whole show of it. Our real estate people right now talk about that scene. It's a perfect, except for they're kind of trespassing in the house, but outside of that.
Yeah, but I totally agree. When people get devastated when they don't get the house. And then I always say to them, like, I know you don't want to hear this, but you'll get the house you're supposed to have. And they'll go, oh, but this one is, I'm like, you weren't supposed to have this one. And they're devastated. I said, so take a couple of days, pull yourself together, and then we'll go out and look again. But you're going to get the house you're supposed to have, and you'll love it.
I usually tell them it probably fell apart because there were termites and you just didn't know, or there was a cracked foundation or fungal growth and you just got rescued from a house.
Yeah. But when they hear me say that, sometimes they're like, I don't want to hear that. This is my house. And you could feel the energy's off.
Yeah.
But, you know, you can't put your finger on it, but the energy's not right. And then all of a sudden you walk into the house and you go, oh, this is their house. Now let them figure it out.
But, you know, maybe this is one of those reasons that I just don't think it's realistic that AI ever replaces a realtor or that any app or website replaces the realtor, because it's a human thing to fall in love with the house. It's a human thing to get excited about it. And it's the other human that recognizes it so that you could figure out a plan. And then when it doesn't work out for whatever reason, the human is the one that absorbs that emotion and helping them think through, take a couple of days, we'll get to the next house. And I just don't know that we emphasize enough the humanity of real estate when we talk about comps and interest rates and inventory. And then even when you talk about, you know, code of ethics and the things that we do, we don't talk about the underlying absolute connective humanity in this very cool profession.
No, and I don't know anybody that has bought their primary house because it fit their financial needs.
No.
Not one. It was an emotional purchase. They could see themselves living there. They were comfortable in the house. Their lifestyle was enveloping the house that they purchased, which is also on the other end, though, makes it difficult a lot of times when you're trying to sell the house because the seller has such an emotional attachment to the house that they can't let go. And then it doesn't sell because it's not ready to sell, because the seller's not ready to sell. And so having that conversation with the seller, first off, the first time you try to have that conversation with the seller, they think you're crazy. Like, you have to let go of this house. You have to go through and say goodbye to your house. And they're like, well, we're selling it. How much more do I have? I'm like, okay. And then I'll take them into a room and I'll say, tell me about this room. And they'll go, oh, this is where we had all of our conversations. This is where I played with my kids. This is where I nursed my baby. This is where blah, blah, blah. And I said, these are the things that you need to put in your treasure trove. And now you have to thank this room for what it did for you and say goodbye. And they look at you like, are you kidding me? I said, just humor me and try it. When you work with seniors, okay, so they're moving out of, this is their last house, basically. They're moving into a senior center or they're moving in to with a family member. It's not only the house. It's like, oh, I have a piano. Well, you know how hard it is to get rid of a piano now. I don't know about you, but everybody in my generation grew up with a piano in their living room or family room. And now these people have been saving this piano to give to their kids. They'll look at me. No, they'll look at me and they'll go, I'm saving this for my son. And I said, have you asked your son if he wants this piano? Well, he learned all of his lessons on here, that he learned how to play the piano. He's very good, blah, blah, blah. Everything in that room has a story. The chair has a story. The table has a story. So trying to get them to downsize their stuff, it's not stuff. It's exactly. Memories.
You're so right. And I think agents, if they would slow down a little more and follow that process you're describing, could actually serve better. But too many agents roll in the house and they say, okay, we've got to stage it. We've got to declutter it. That's not clutter to that seller. It's their
correct
items. And I'm sitting here thinking, because you're talking about undoing the emotional attachment for a seller.
Yeah.
And when you're buying with, when we're the buyer's agent, we're trying to help them create an emotional attachment. And now I'm wondering, and this is just me thinking out loud, and you don't mind.
Nope.
You know, there's this statistic at the National Association of Realtors that almost 80% of the public, they are happy or very happy with their realtor, had a great experience, no problem. When they go to sell it, only 12% use the same agent. They're using somebody different. For all these years, I think every other instructor have used that as a chastisement to agents who have not kept up with their people appropriately. And granted, they haven't. But now I'm wondering if there's a deeper psychological thing going on of, on one side of the transaction, you're building it, and on the other side, you're breaking it. And is the seller looking for a new relationship because they do need to detach? I wonder if there's something more than we've ever looked at.
I'll bet there is.
All the emotion in this giant pile of money, and it's a management process.
It definitely is. Yes, the money is really important, but it's really not what we deal with on a day-to-day basis. We deal with real people and their psyches and what's going on in their heads. We're not getting to the money if we don't get past the, what are you thinking? What are you feeling?
There's the title of your episode. You don't get to the money if you don't get to the core of the feelings. I like it, Lynn. I like it.
Yeah. I mean, you're dealing with actual human beings. The AI cannot deal with a feeling and never will. And I mean, I know you do the same thing. you have a new client, you talk to them, you're educating them, you're talking to them the entire time you're out with them. And by the time you get to the, okay, I want to put in an agreement of sale, pretty much they're saying, what would you do, Leah? What would you do? Oh, is that what you would do? Okay, we'll do that. To the point where sometimes I say, wait a minute, guys, I'm not living in your house. You are. So take a step back and you've asked me what I would do, but now look around and decide what it is that you want. Because they start to follow you around and they take your suggestions like they're law. And I take a step back and go, whoa, 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 whoa. Okay. Here's two different scenarios or here's three different scenarios. And then of course they'll go again. Well, which one would you pick? And I'm like, well, wait a minute. All right. If you pick this one, this will happen. If you pick this one, this will happen. If you pick this one, this will happen. What is it that you want? People are just afraid to make decisions.
And that's one of the key things that we get to do is guide, but don't make the decisions. If you're in real estate, don't misunderstand us that we're saying you should make the decision for them, but they are looking for your guidance so they can make it. And that's probably why so many agents need to take a step back and don't boss boss, give pros and cons, and then just guide people. Now, yeah. Lynn, if somebody wants to talk to you about these educational offerings that you have, if they want to talk to you about Pennsylvania real estate or anything at all in life, what is the best way to find you?
The best way to contact me, because I'm not real good at Facebook, but I'm trying to get better. So Facebook is Lynn Scherer, and my email is really hard, lynn@lynnscherer.com.
And for all of you that you got panicked there when she said it was hard and you quit writing, don't worry, because all of Lynn's contact information is in the show notes for this episode. So you can go look her up, click to follow, click to email her, and reach out to her and ask her if she wants to bring her perspective on teaching to your marketplace, or reach out to her about buying and selling in her area of Pennsylvania. Just think Billy Joel and you'll remember Allentown. And Lynn, thank you so much for coming on the show. I'm very grateful for what you're doing to help make agents better in your marketplace and beyond.
Thank you. You're great. I appreciate it. It's been fun.
All right, friends, make sure to subscribe and follow. Say something nice about Lynn in the comments, too. It's very important that you tell Lynn something nice.
Thank you.
All right, and we'll see you next time.
As always, I am so super thrilled that you joined in for more crazy shit. And if you're a realtor, investor, inspector, lender, or just a regular human being who happens to have an unbelievable story that you need to tell the world about, or frankly, you just need to one-up the story you just heard, then make sure to DM me on Instagram at Lee Thomas Brown, or tweet me at Lee Brown, or frankly, any social network where you hang out. I'm there. And if you have some fun, then you totally won't just subscribe so you don't miss out on any future episodes.